now, it's my goal to share Oma's secrets and keep this spirited essence alive. One memory that still strikes a chord is when great Uncle Hans, a concert pianist from Germany, joined our amateur dinner theater as a featured guest. For the occasion, Oma rented a Steinway grand piano. As he played Beethoven on that grand instrument in the crowded dining room, I was transformed by the sound of classical music and fell in love. Now in retirement, because of my mother's encouragement, I joyfully take piano lessons on a grand piano of my own. Someday, I hope to play Beethoven like great Uncle Hans and resurrect Oma's traditions for the next generation. It may be family legend, but the best kept of Oma's secrets? Well, we're related to Beethoven, of course. I'm Suzanne Scafidi Worrell from Heartland, Wisconsin, and that was my classical story.
I'm Tom Troutman from Plymouth, Minnesota, and this is my classical story. It was the spring of 1971, my sophomore year at North Park College in Chicago. Our choir, along with those from Northwestern University and the Chicago Symphony, were rehearsing Mahler's Eighth, the Symphony of a Thousand. Over several days, Margaret Hillis and then George Schulte himself came to our campus to lead us through this monumental work. The whole piece is wonderful, but I'll never forget the thrill of the triumphant ending. Several hundred voices in the Chicago Symphony, with its famous brass section coming together at full volume. Then an organ joined in, and the whole stage was shaking as the text invited us to lift our eyes towards the splendors of heaven. That was when I fully experienced the sublime power of classical music.
What an exciting ending there to Mahler's great Symphony No. 8, the Symphony of a Thousand. And how exciting for Tom as a college student being part of that performance, which included some of his musical idols. I'm so glad that he shared that story with us. If you have a story about why classical music is important in your life, you can share it at yourclassical.org. I'm Andrea Blaine. I remember meeting one of my classical music idols when I was just a teenager. I was on a young conductor's course run by our local symphony orchestra, and Aaron Copland came to conduct some of his works for a summer concert. We were allowed to watch him rehearse the orchestra, and he came to talk to the class, too. It was so thrilling to see this iconic composer at work. Whenever I hear Copland's music, I remember that time years ago and how special it was, and how grateful I am for that experience. In just a minute, more stories sharing gratitude for that most important gift, classical music, to celebrate this season of thanks and togetherness. This is Every Good Thing from APM, American Public Media.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, as well as online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org. From all of us here at KPR, happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to Every Good Thing. Today at 1 p.m., we'll bring you Songs of Thanks with Contus, and from 2 to 3 p.m., Shadow Glow Thanksgiving with the American Sound, all just ahead, here on Kansas Public Radio. We should have sunny skies, temperatures in the mid-40s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of about 24, and cloudy with a high of 43 for Friday. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is Every Good Thing, stories and music to celebrate a season of grace and gratitude from APM, American Public Media. Thanks for listening and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Andrea Blaine. We've heard from Suzanne and Tom, Jean, Brent, and others too, all devoted music lovers and all listeners who at some point in their lives realized just how grateful they are for music. What about you? What's your reason for loving classical music? Share your story online at yourclassical.org. Music has terrific power to inspire and motivate, as well as calm and soothe. How do you listen? And when did you start appreciating the music that you love? Here's a story about someone who discovered her love of classical music and a way to enjoy that music at the same time.
I'm Julia Redcheck from Newtown, Connecticut, and this is my classical story. I grew up as a ballet dancer, so classical music has always been a part of my life, but never once outside of the studio or the stage until I began high school. During my first study hall as a freshman, I stumbled upon the NPR app and realized I could tune into tons of stations from around the country. I selected Minnesota Public Radio, despite having no connections to that area, and I was immediately hooked. The first piece I heard was the overture to the ballet Le Corsaire. While this piece itself is quite short, it really helps build anticipation for what's to follow in the rest of the score. I love hearing the mix of ferocity and sweetness coupled throughout Le Corsaire, and I think this overture displays that perfectly. It's been about 10 years since I first heard that piece, and my love for this music has only grown. I don't know anyone else my age who listens to more Beethoven or Debussy than Taylor Swift, but I couldn't imagine my life without classical music in it. We'll be right back.
I'm Jude Foxall from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and this is my classical story. As a teen in the late 1940s, I discovered a 45 RPM record titled Spike Jonze Kids the Classics. Listening intently through the clatter of cowbells, ahuga horns, and kazoos, I heard Rossini, Liszt, and Bach. This sent me to the library, where I listened to real symphonic music and began a lifelong love for the classics. So hats off to those mentioned above and all composers, but a special thanks to Spike and the boys for starting me on this journey.
I'm Sarah Entenmann from Northfield, Minnesota, and this is my classical story. I had a privileged but tough childhood. My mother drank a lot. A lot. But she also listened to classical music on the radio all the time. That made things a bit easier. On my 13th birthday, my parents gave me my first record, Arthur Rubinstein playing Edvard Grieg's Piano Concerto, the only one he ever wrote. Recently, I had my 70th birthday, and I am still in love
with this life-changing music. It continues to take me to a place of peace and serenity and is constantly a gift to my ears, especially the achingly poetic high notes. Classical radio is also an ongoing gift, especially because, unlike during my childhood, it is presented oh so fabulously by women as well as men.
You're listening to Every Good Thing from American Public Media. I love Sarah's story there about music being a source of calm and serenity for her, even in tough times. And her praise of women's voices presenting classical music is certainly music to my ears. Thanks for that, Sarah. I remember when I first began thinking about working in classical music radio. I was part of a string quartet in Northern Ireland playing music that mixed classical and Irish traditional elements. We performed to our biggest audience in London for an organization called Corrymeela that worked to bring the various sides of the Northern Irish conflict together. The idea of two different kinds of music meeting in harmony chimed with efforts to resolve differences. The rest of the quartet decided that I would have to be the one to talk to the audience about our music, and a presenter was born.
I'm Dean Simonton from Davis, California, and this is my classical story. My first year roommate in college loved classical music and would listen to it in our dorm room while he was studying. Prior to starting college, my chief musical experiences involved rock and jazz. So I consented to his classical, with a proviso that the volume be kept low enough so as not to disturb my own studies. This compromise went on for a little while, until he played some composition unknown to me, which gradually started to attract my attention. Unexpectedly, the music became very quiet. I pleaded with my roommate to quickly turn up the volume. The mysterious beat of the timpani was soon joined by the ominous sound of the strings, picking up pace until a triumphal fanfare broke the dark mood to produce the most exhilarating music I had ever heard in my life. Thus it was the final movement, not the first movement, of Beethoven's Fifth with its famous da-da-da-da, but the final movement that truly introduced me to the wonders of classical music.
I'm Michael Gleason from Bangor, Maine, and this is my classical story. As a baby boomer, I attended public schools in the mid-50s and 60s. In the height of the Cold War, each of my schools was equipped with blackout shades on the windows. Walking into the art classroom in high school, if those shades were down, we knew it was an interpretive day. Our teacher would tell us to choose our medium and take our seats. The lights would go out and he would play a piece of classical music, telling us to paint what we heard in the near total darkness. When the music had ended and the lights went back on, I looked at my creation. Using pieces of cardboard instead of a brush and poster paints on a piece of gray poster board, I had created a huge dark fortress wall looming above me with a massive entrance. It was only after the creations were done that we were told that the classical piece that day was The Great Gate of Kiev by Modest Mussorgsky. I had been exposed to classical music through my mother for most of my life, but it was that day that my affinity for classical music was cast in stone.